One can see Ruin's craftiness in the meticulousness of his planning. He managed to orchestrate the downfall of the Lord Ruler only a short time before Preservation's power returned to the Well of Ascension. And then, within a few years of that event, he had freed himself. On the timescale of gods and their power, this very tricky timing was as precise as an expert cut performed by the most talented of surgeons. 50. The door to the cavern opened. Vin immediately downed her last vial of metals. She jumped, tossing a coin behind herself, leaping up onto the top of one of the freestanding shelves. The cavern echoed with the sound of stone on stone as its door opened. Vin threw herself forward, pushing off the coin to shoot toward the front of the room. A crack of light outlined the door, and even this small amount of illumination hurt her eyes. She gritted her teeth against the light, blinking as she landed. She threw herself up against the wall just to the side of the door, clutching her knives, flaring pewter to help her deal with the sudden pain of light. Tears crept down her cheeks. The door stopped moving. A solitary man stepped into the cavern, bearing a raised lantern. He wore a fine black suit and a gentleman's hat. Vin ignored him. She slipped around the man and ducked through the door, entering the small chamber beyond. A group of startled workers shied back, dropping ropes which were connected to the door's opening mechanisms. Vin ignored these men as well, other than to shove her way through them. Dropping a coin, she pushed herself upward. The wooden ladder's rungs became a blur beside her as she soared up and slammed into the trap door in the ceiling, and bounced off it with a grunt of pain. She desperately caught rungs of the ladder as she began to fall, ignoring the sudden sting in her shoulder from hitting so hard. She flared pewter and pushed down on a rung with her legs, then slammed her back up against the trap door, trying to force it up and open. She strained. Then the rung broke beneath her feet, sending her toppling down again. She cursed, pushing off her coin to slow her fall, and hit the floor in a crouch. The workers had backed into a huddle, uncertain whether they wanted to venture into the dark cavern, but also uncertain whether they wanted to remain in the small room with a Mistborn. The suited nobleman had turned. He held his lantern high, illuminating Vin. A bit of broken ladder rung fell free and cracked to the stone floor beside her.
"The trap door is well secured, with a very large rock on top of it, Lady Venture," the nobleman said.
Vin vaguely recognized him. He was a bit overweight, but was kempt, with very short hair and a thoughtful face.
"Tell the man up above to remove the stone," Vin said quietly, raising a dagger.
"That is not going to happen, I'm afraid."
"I can make it happen," Vin said, stepping forward.
The workers pulled back even further. The nobleman smiled.
"Lady Venture, let me assure you of several things. The first is that you are the only Allomancer among us, and so I have no doubt that you could slaughter us with the barest of efforts. The second is that the stone above is not moving any time soon, so we might as well sit down and have a pleasant chat, as opposed to brandishing weapons and threatening each other."
There was something disarming about the man. Vin checked with Bronze, but he wasn't burning any metals. Just to be certain, she pulled a bit on his emotions, making him more trusting and friendly, then tried to soothe away any sense of guile he might have felt.
"I see that you're at least considering my offer," the nobleman said, waving to one of the workers.
The worker hastily opened his pack, pulling out two folding chairs, then arranging them on the ground before the open stone door. The nobleman placed the lantern to the side, then sat down. Vin crept a little closer.
"Why do I recognize you?"
"I'm a friend of your husband," the nobleman said.
"Teldon," Vin said, placing him.
"Teldon Hastings."
Teldon nodded. She had seen him at the ball a few weeks back, the first one they had attended. But she'd known him from someplace earlier than that. He'd been one of Eldon's friends in Luthadel before the collapse. Warily, Vin took the offered seat, trying to figure out Yeoman's game. Did he think she wouldn't kill Teldon just because he'd been Ellen's friend? Teldon lounged in his chair, somewhat less proper than the average nobleman. He waved a worker forward, and the man presented two bottles.
"Wine," Teldon said. "One is pure,
The other contains an extremely powerful sedative.
Vin raised an eyebrow.
This is to be some sort of guessing game?
Hardly, Teldon said, opening one of the bottles.
I'm far too thirsty, and from what I hear, you're not the type who possesses an excessive amount of patience for games.
Vin cocked her head as Teldon accepted two cups from a servant, then poured some of the ruby wine into each. As she watched, she realized why he was so disarming. He reminded her of Elend, the old, carefree Elend. From what she could tell, this Teldon was genuinely still like that.
I have to grant Yeoman that much, she thought. His city may not be perfect, but he has created a place where men like Teldon can retain some of their innocence.
Teldon took a drink of his wine, proffering the other cup to Vin. She slid one of her knives into her sheath, then took the cup. She didn't drink, and had no intention of doing so.
This is the wine without the sedative, Teldon said.
Good vintage, too. Yeoman is a true gentleman. If he's going to send one of his friends down into a pit to die, he'll at least provide them with expensive wine to soften the blow.
I'm supposed to believe that you're here to be imprisoned, too?
Vin asked flatly.
Of course not, Teldon said.
Though many consider my mission to be hopeless.
And that mission is?
To get you to drink some of the drugged wine so that you can be safely transported up above.
Vin snorted.
I see that you agree with my detractors, Teldon said.
You just gave yourself away, Vin said.
You just said that I'm supposed to drink the wine and fall unconscious.
That means you have a way to signal to those above that I've been dealt with so they can remove the stone and let you out. You have the power to free us, and I have the power to make you do as I wish.
Emotional allomancy cannot control me to that extent, Teldon said. I'm no allomancer, but I do know something of it. I suspect that you're manipulating my emotions right now, actually. Which really isn't necessary, since I'm being completely frank with you.
I don't need allomancy to make you talk, Vin said, glancing down at the knife she still had in her other hand.
Teldon laughed.
You think that King Yeoman, yes, he's up above, won't be able to tell if I'm speaking under duress? I have no doubt that you'd be able to break me, but I'm not going to betray my word simply on threats. So you'd have to cut off a few fingers or something before I'd do as you ask. I'm pretty certain that Yeoman and the others would hear me screaming.
I could kill the servants, Vin said. One at a time, until you agree to tell Yeoman that I'm unconscious and have him open the door.
Teldon smiled.
You think that I'd care if you killed them?
You're one of Ellen's friends, Vin said. You were one of those who talked philosophy with him.
Philosophy, Teldon said, and politics. Elend, however, was the only one of us interested in the scar. I assure you, the rest of us really didn't understand where he got such a fascination with them.
He shrugged.
However, I'm not a heartless man. If you kill enough of them, perhaps I would break down and do as you ask. Might as well get started, then.
Vin glanced at the servants. They seemed terrified of her, and Teldon's words didn't help. After a few moments of silence, Teldon chuckled.
You are Ellen's wife, he noted. Yeoman is aware of this, you see. He was mostly convinced that you wouldn't kill any of us, despite your rather fearsome reputation. From what we hear, you have a habit of killing kings and gods, perhaps the occasional soldier. Scar servants, however.
Vin looked away from the servants but didn't meet Teldon's eyes, fearing that he'd see confirmation in them. He was wrong about her. She would kill those servants if she thought it would get her out. However, she was uncertain. If Yeoman heard screams, he wouldn't be likely to open the trap door, and Vin would have slaughtered innocents for no reason.
So, Teldon said, finishing off his wine, we are at a stalemate. We assume that you're running low on food down here, unless you've found a way to open those cans. Even if you have, there's nothing you can do here to help up above. My guess is that unless you take the wine, we'll all end up starving to death in this cavern.
Vin sat back down in her chair.
There has to be a way out, a chance to exploit this.
However, it was incredibly unlikely that she'd be able to break through that door above. She could maybe use Duralumin and steel to push her way through. However, her steel and pewter would be gone, and she was out of metal vials. Teldon's words, unfortunately, held a great deal of truth. Even if Vin could survive in the cavern, she'd be stagnant and useless. The siege would continue up above, she didn't even know how that was going, and the world would continue to die by Ruin's machinations. She needed to get out of the cavern, even if that meant being put into Yeoman's hands. She eyed the bottle of drugged wine. Damn, she thought. That obligator is far cleverer than we expected. The wine would certainly have been prepared with enough strength to knock out an Allomancer. However, pewter made the body resistant to all kinds of drugs. If she flared pewter with Duralumin after drinking the wine, would it perhaps burn away the poison and leave her awake? She could pretend to be unconscious, then escape above. It seemed like a stretch. And yet what was she to do? Her food was almost gone, and her chances for escaping were slim. She didn't know what Yeoman wanted of her, and Teldon would be very unlikely to tell her, but he must not want her dead. If that had been the case, he'd simply have left her to starve. She had a choice. Either wait longer in the cavern, or gamble on a better chance to escape up above. She thought for just a moment, then made up her mind. She reached for the bottle. Even if her trick with pewter didn't work, she'd rather gamble on getting into a better situation up above. Teldon chuckled.
They did say that you were a decisive one. That's rather refreshing. I've spent far too long with stuffy noblemen who take years to come to any firm decisions.
Vin ignored him. She easily popped the cork off of the bottle, then raised it and took a swig. The drugs began to take effect almost immediately. She settled back in her chair, letting her eyes droop, trying to give the impression that she was falling asleep. Indeed, it was very difficult to remain awake. Her mind was clouding despite flared pewter. She slumped, feeling herself drift away. Here goes, she thought, then burned Duralumin. Her body flared with hyper-enhanced pewter. Immediately the feeling of tiredness went away. She almost bolted upright from the sudden burst of energy. Teldon was chuckling.
I'll be, he said to one of the servants. She actually went for it.
You'd be dead if she hadn't, my lord, the servant said. We'd all be dead.
And then the Duralumin ran out. Her pewter disappeared with a puff, and with it went her immunity to the drug, which hadn't burned away. It had been a long shot anyway. She barely heard her weapon click as it slipped from her fingers and hit the floor. Then she fell unconscious.